Saving money on your next project now at Menards. Menards is the leading supplier of quality roof and floor trusses. Choose from our large selection of residential and post-frame trusses or design custom trusses specifically for your project. Get started on your building project today, in-store or on Menards.com. Plus, view our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Ott Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United transfer news. We've got lots to get into on the show this morning. If you were here for yesterday morning's show, you'll know that we had some big topics and we went on for about an hour, and I've got a lot to talk about to you this morning. Some incredible, unbelievable, unforgivable comments coming out apparently from Manchester United about their happiness with how the window is going, that they are in no rush to buy a third midfielder and that they feel the pressure is off because they've bought Tielemans and Santos, even that they might not even buy another third midfielder because Mason Mount can play in the midfield. We'll delve into the truth about that. We'll be talking about why Belaba's back on the menu. I have a very big theory on this, and some of you are not going to like it and some of you will. Also, we'll be talking about this Tchouaméni story, which The Sun and Samuel Luckhurst have doubled down on overnight, that talks have taken place. We had Ben Jacobs on yesterday saying that Man United have not spoken to Tchouaméni's agent or Real Madrid in weeks. Fabrizio Romano says the new contract is signed. What are The Sun and Luckhurst on? We'll delve into that as well. Also, we're going to be talking about the centre-back situation, another injury blow for Manchester United. We'll give you the latest on that. Are we going for a left-back or a left-winger? Also, Danilo. I say no to Danilo. That would be incredible. And also, what's going on with Kone? I suppose we can talk about that. But lots to get into on the show, and we'll be driven by you as well. Hopefully, the stream looks okay. Hopefully, the audio is okay. Hopefully, all of you are okay. Lots to get into. Right, I want to start off straight away. Let's sort of dispel a few myths as well. So look, Ty Marshall, Manchester Evening News, can only talk about what he's being given. But he has said that there is no rush now for Manchester United, having signed Santos and Tielemans. The pressure is off. There is a sense that the pressure is off at Manchester United, and there's no rush to sign a third midfielder with the signings of Tielemans and Santos. Look, let's get real. I think if you're Crystal Palace or you're Everton, you're down on that poolside, you're sipping on a sangria, and you're going, life ain't bad. We've got Tielemans in the midfield from Villa. We've got Santos off the bench from Chelsea. We're probably not in a horrific situation, are we? But we're Manchester United. Tielemans was not, whether we like it or not, in our top four candidates to sign as the marquee midfielder. And Santos was not in the top four to sign as our second midfielder or our third midfielder. So I think that ultimately it's deceptive for Manchester United to put it out there that we're in no rush. It's deceptive of Manchester United to be in a situation where they're saying the pressure is off. I don't like it. Mark's looking like an FBI agent. I like that, Sanil. I don't like it. And maybe the FBI do need to investigate Manchester United. But on a serious note, I don't think the pressure is off. You know what annoys me? And I did say this a few weeks ago. If I was running Manchester United, or you were running Manchester United, the pressure would never be off. It would never be off. The pressure would always be on. Like, every morning I walk in, speak to Beth at United Stand, speak to the producers, I'm on it, you know, I'm on it. And Noah says, the new kit's nice. Exactly. But yeah, look, I think that the cold, harsh reality is, I'm not saying Ty Marshall should be sacked at the Manchester Evening News. I think he's actually a good lad. But ultimately, writing that article, you'd have to be a moron to make it up. So effectively, you're being fed that information that United are in no rush and they feel the pressure's off. That terrifies me on two levels. It's unbelievable on two levels. I will talk about Belaba next. It's unbelievable. And there's a shark behind you. I tell you what, it's rough enough. It's rough enough out there. I've just seen Phil and Grant swimming by. There could be a shark in there. But I think that ultimately it has to be called out, because why are stories coming out about Man United being in no rush? Why are Man United putting stories out about the pressure being off? I think this, you know, either they're trying to buy time and they're panicking, or they genuinely aren't in a rush and they feel the pressure's off. Either way, these are not the representatives of Manchester United that we need to get back to the top. Hamza says, LaCroix to Chelsea, here we go, what the fuck are we doing? Well, I don't think we should be in look for LaCroix, but I do think it's a good signing for Chelsea, but they have spent nearly 150 million quid already, Chelsea. I think it's you know, incredible, really, how United would be comfortable with this position. But look, before I move on to something else, I wanted to call this out at the start. How can a football club like Manchester United be comfortable with the situation that they're in when they didn't get their plan A, B or C or D signing in the midfield in either position? They don't have the third midfielder yet and they feel the pressure's off. If I'm Sir Jim Radcliffe or I'm Joel Glazer or I'm Omar Berada, the pressure's never off. The pressure is never off. We're Manchester United, the pressure is always on. If we draw 1-1 at home to Everton, the pressure's on with Carrick. It will be. So if we don't get our number one targets or our number two targets or our number three targets or our number four targets and we don't get the third midfielder and we're not buying a winger and we're not buying the left back, why is that not the same as Michael Carrick drawing at home to Everton? Because I tell you what, if Carrick draws at home to Everton next season, the pressure will be on. You know how it works. So why is the pressure not on our board? Why is the pressure off when you're delivering people like Santos and Tillemans and you're not getting a third midfielder? And this is what annoys me, because Carrick will get it every bloody week, twice a week next season. And these lot will disappear into the background. But they're actually the architects of the potential failure by not doing what needs to be done, especially when you see what Chelsea are doing and what Spurs are doing, etc. So the pressure should never be off at Manchester United. I think it's another... It's as ridiculous as the story we had yesterday about United being happy to pull people, magic out of the hat, you know, pull a rabbit out of the hat. You know, the pressure's off. It's like a Saturday night TV lineup, isn't it? The pressure's off. We're in no rush. And at 8 o'clock, pull a rabbit out of the hat. You know, we're moving down the Saturday TV listings as, you know, PR statements, really. So, yeah, not happy about that. The pressure should never be off. And we do need to do a lot of stuff. However, it won't be all negative this morning. I'm not bullying Everton. I think Everton had a very good season last season. I think Everton have their financial limitations. They've just built a new stadium. And I think Everton haven't won a league title for 40 years. So I think Man United should have higher aspirations than Everton or Crystal Palace, in my opinion. Couple of things I do want to talk to you about this morning. Well, look, I got sent it, so I'll just talk about it. Apparently, Simon Stone has said Man United might not buy a third midfielder. There's some guy who works for Sky who does interviews for Sky for Man United who has got no background in being credible around transfers. Let's call it out for what it is. He's been on another channel and he said that United have spoken to Belaba recently or his representatives recently and that Man United might not buy another midfielder. I'm telling you now, Man United are buying another midfielder. I could easily, you know, get up and start going, wow, God, we're not buying another midfielder. I could listen to the story. Maybe Simon Stone said it, maybe he didn't. Certainly this guy from Sky, who actually in his own bio says, my opinions are my own, not Sky Sports. So straight away, just because someone works for Sky, look at the bio. It doesn't say that. So someone says, can you do a weather report? Where we are is absolutely lovely, right? I'll tell you where it is when I get back, unless someone can guess it, right? You got wind off the sea. It does look cloudy that way. It's blue skies that sky that way. As you can see, the sun shining down on the pool there. So it's a sun trap with a nice breeze. It's been lovely weather this week. So yeah, Skegness is brilliant this time of year. But yeah, let me go back to what I was saying there. We're not in talks with Belaba. We're simply not. You know, we've had really good information around Chiumini, Kone, Scott, Belaba. It's funny with Belaba, right? I saw something this morning about he's been looking at Man United stories on his Instagram. The guy is desperate to sign for Manchester United. I actually have a theory that all the noise about Belaba is coming from Belaba. I actually think Belaba is telling journalists that Man United have spoken to him or his representatives has. I think there is nothing going on with Belaba, as per my information. So people can say we've spoken to his representatives. That's not what's coming out from who we're really talking to. Now, Man United have been very tight-lipped. I mean, I saw a brilliant tweet. I think it was Frank Thera yesterday saying, today we've been linked to Kone, Belaba, Danilo, Camavinga, Chiumini, Berg, and somebody else, which shows you that Man United are not putting out what they're doing. So you have to go and get your information from other places. I know we've spoken to Kone. I know we haven't spoken to Jermaine. And I know that Alex Scott is a player United would like to bid for, but they haven't. But we're not in advanced talks with Belaba. We're not in talks with Belaba. But it's a story that won't go away. And I feel sorry for these journalists who are sitting there talking about Man United talking to Tchouaméni or Belaba, because it's a little bit like Peter and Paul. Fly away, Belaba. Fly away, Tchouaméni. They're not, come back, Belaba. Come back, Tchouaméni. If anyone knows, fly away, Peter, fly away, Paul. They're just stories that keep coming back and forth, but then they're never going to land. They're never going to land. And we're not in talks with Belaba. He's down the list. There are other players ahead of him. And I do feel sorry for the people that want Belaba, because I feel like the only place this can be coming from is his representatives. And remember the five strands of a transfer. One, total bullshit. Two, totally true. Three, agent driving it to get a move somewhere. Four, agent driving it to get a contract where they are. Five, the selling club using United to get more interest in the player. So we're not looking at the Labour at the moment, but I certainly think it's being driven by people around him. And I think he's desperate to come to Man United. But you know, my message to Belaba is, if you were so desperate to sign for Man United, maybe you should have got off your arse last season and played for 9 months like you did the previous 9 months. Because, mate, you blew it. You blew it. If you'd have had a good season last season, we'd probably all be saying, go and get him. Instead, we've got a cult saying, go and get him. But Man United aren't looking at him. He's way too expensive anyway. And also, his bad season has knocked him down the list. So there's nothing advancing with Belaba. We can kill that story off. In relation to Man United not signing a third midfielder, as much as I would love to be losing my crap about that, and I'm not going to, I'd rather lose my crap about United being in no rush and feeling no pressure, having signed Santos and Tielemans. We will sign a third midfielder. And I left a pause there because that is a perfect little meme if we don't sign a third midfielder by early September. But we will sign a new midfielder. And I sort of covered it on the preview last night that I'd heard about it. I've seen where it's come from today. Yeah, we will sign another midfielder. Man United are not going to put up with Mason Mount. He's too injury prone and he's not very good. They will sign another midfielder. And I can leave it there. You can get angry, but to be honest with you, I actually think, again, I have a good theory on this. I think United are playing their old games. Say we're not going to buy a midfielder, and then when you buy one, whoever it is, people get appreciative. So a little bit like at Christmas, isn't it? You're not getting any chocolate. You're not getting any chocolate. And then you wake up on Christmas Day morning and you get some chocolate, a nice Mars selection box. And you're grateful, even though it might not be the best selection box. So I do think 100% we'll sign another midfielder. I just think United haven't got a bloody clue what they're doing at the moment. And it's probably not going to happen anytime soon. So they're almost setting you up to be angry, to then be grateful for whatever you get. So essentially, we're not getting a midfielder. We're not getting a midfielder. We're not getting a midfielder. Oh my God, this is a joke. And then we sign Sanderberg and you go, oh, it's better than nothing. So it could be that that happens, but we will sign another midfielder. John Hutch says, why can't we sell Mark? Send them all to La Liga, League One. Mate, I actually saw something this morning. I wasn't going to bring it into the show. Paul says, I'm in Parma Nova. Come watch the match with me. I'm not in Mallorca, mate. I'd love to. I'm not in Mallorca. I'm not even on the island, which is Mallorca. I saw an article today. I don't know where it was from. It was about United hoping to raise £90 million by selling Rashford, Xerxes and somebody else. Right. I ain't got nothing to sell. And I've got more chance of raising £90 million than Man United have. They're not going to raise £90 million. They're not going to sell Marcus Rashford for money because his wage is too high. They will not sell Xerxes for any more than 30 million. So how the hell? I mean, Man United, I mean, there's a question for you. How would, if you needed to raise £100 million tomorrow, how do you do it? At Man United, without selling Bruno?
Saving money on your next project now at Menards. Menards is the leading supplier of quality roof and floor trusses. Choose from our large selection of residential and post-frame trusses or design custom trusses specifically for your project. Get started on your building project today, in-store or on Menards.com. Plus, view our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. How would you raise £100 million tomorrow? You've got to ring around all the clubs and say, look, do you want this player at this price? I mean, I'm literally saying you'd probably ring around and take a hit on Cunha, Sesko, Mbeumo, Yoro, Mainu. You can't sell players you've just bought. So, yeah, I mean, to raise £100 million, Man United would need to sell their best players at cut price. Whereas I look at a team like Liverpool or Man City or Arsenal, I think they could raise £100 million tomorrow by selling bench players. If we needed to raise £100 million tomorrow, and this is a very important point, this is the state of Man United Football Club, right? You need to raise £100 million by tomorrow, we would have to sell first team players at cut price. We just don't have sellable assets, and it's amazing. And it's been like that for a very, very long time. So, you know, how that works, I don't know. Please do share the video, by the way. Let's see if we can get close to 10,000 watching. Smash a like on the video if you like the glorious background. Loving that. So we've spoken to you about Belabor. We've spoken about the no rush. Apparently, Man United are in no rush to sign a third midfielder. They are feeling no pressure. They feel the pressure is off having signed Santos and Tielemans. Lovely stuff. Don't forget there is a watch along today as well. I will be doing a match reaction to that, but we have got the watch along for you from the studio because I'll be watching along poolside down there. I'll be down there literally with a big glass of beer watching it, and then I'll match react afterwards. Just a little bit of injury news before I carry on with some transfer news. De Ligt not back for the start of the season, which means him and Martinez very unlikely to be ready for the start of the season. You know what worries me? I reckon I could play centre-back for the first four games of the season and we'd win, apart from the City game. I mean, Maguire, Luke Shaw, Dalot, they're going to look like prime Costa Curta, Maldini, Baresi, because the games are really easy. So I do think we're going to win. What I worry about this season is that it's very, very, very winnable. And I think that it becomes very interesting if we win those games, do we get fooled into everything's okay? I think we've got such an easy start to the season. I mean, you've got two newly promoted teams in the first two games. We're not really playing anybody apart from Man City. And I think we could be kidded by the start to the season. Because it's a marathon, not a sprint, isn't it? But look, we won't have De Ligt. He is recovering well, but he won't be ready for the start of the season. And Martinez, we're waiting for the assessment of his injury, but he should be back soon. So that's the update on De Ligt. Let me just have a quick look here. Would you consider United title contenders this season, says Rub? I'd put it like this. Do you think that Ian Beale from EastEnders is going to win an Oscar this year? And if the answer is yes, then please do seek help. What do you think about the Tchouaméni story, Mark, and Samuel Lucas doubling down on it? Look, it's strange. It's really strange. I would never be so stubborn to not analyse and research a ridiculous statement that the journalist then doubles down on. And he basically, I can't see it because he's got me blocked because, Yeah, I've spoken to him a few times, but not in a good way. Doesn't seem to have much of a sense of humour, so that's never going to work that well with me, is it? But, you know, he's obviously downgraded from the Manchester Evening News to The Sun and is desperate for credibility because that's what it's all about. So, look, I'll always be fair. If I see somebody get something right, I'll always say, might be a bit of a knobhead, but they got it right. This would be a huge scoop if he got it. Now, the only thing I can think of is in press conferences, amazingly, it's probably the biggest flaw in Mourinho's whole aura, because I do like Mourinho. He seems to like Lookhurst. Has Mourinho rang up Lookhurst and said, here is the biggest scoop you'll ever get of your career. We are trying to sell Tchouaméni. Because that's the only thing that makes any sense. House of Zoom, I'll talk about Sesko's muscle in a moment. So look, in the Sun, Samuel Lookhurst is still doubling down that Man United are talking to Tchouaméni or could still sign Tchouaméni. I think the devil's in the detail, isn't it? I think the devil is in the detail. Man United could sign Enzo Fernandez. And then on September the 1st, when we don't sign him, I'll say, well, look, there were talks, there were exploratory talks, a deal couldn't be done, but United really liked him. A lot of people do that. They've got jobs. They've got bills to pay. It's a competitive environment. How many journalists are there around Man United? Fortunately, I'm not in a world where that you know, bothers me, but they do, you know, if you wake up on a Monday morning and you're a journalist for Manchester United working for a major organization who pays your bills, do you put a story out saying nothing? Or do you put a story out saying Man United might sign Tchouaméni? And there's your answer. You know, you're intelligent people. Like, does a journalist put a story out that's not going to happen, but sounds like it could? Or does a journalist not put that story out? Well, it's generated a lot of conversation on a quiet week, hasn't it? But look, he is basically saying, David Williams says, is it true that we're considering a move for Jed Spence? We will come on to that, David. Thanks very much for your super chat. Josh says Jed Spence would be a decent site addition. Look, in relation to Tchouaméni, Ben Jacobs' words yesterday were that there's no contact with Tchouaméni for weeks. Romano's words 48 hours ago were that he signed his contract and it can't happen. Two people, journalists. Relatively credible, however you want to call it. I think credible. Mine, I think what you like. Considering we had the scoop on Tchouaméni in March and had the scoop that the deal was off before anybody else. What's my update on Tchouaméni from the sources we've got that are very good? He's happy at Real Madrid. He signed his contract at Real Madrid. If Real Madrid said, out of the blue, you have to sail, and Man United coughed up 70 million and were willing to give him the same wage, then a deal could happen. And if you read the detail, that's exactly what Samuel Lookhurst said. A deal could happen for Tchouaméni, but he would want north of 250 grand a week. So we're not in talks with Tchouaméni. A deal is now very unlikely, whereas a month ago it was possible. It's very unlikely, but it's generated a bit of a story in a week where it's been a bit quiet. That's my thoughts on that. What I would say, before we talk about the left back, the Danilo story, I mean, come on. I know Beth spoke about it last night, but I've not spoke about Danilo yet. Get the fuck out. I mean, come on. Danilo. I mean, we literally are Forest, Everton or Palace, aren't we? Danilo? I don't. Somebody just said Tchouaméni's not officially signed his contract. Look at what Romano said, mate. In relation to the Danilo story, all I would say about this, and look, I'm not disagreeing with Rub. He says Tchouaméni is overrated, mate, personal opinion. I am disagreeing with you on that. Right, Danilo was at Forest, wasn't massively impressed. He's gone back to Brazil, he's been pretty good. He had a little bit of a cameo in the World Cup, he was okay in a crap Brazil side. Danilo, to me, would be worse than Ederson, and Ederson, Santos and Tielemans is not the balanced midfield United need. I mean, look, you've got to look at the balance now. We already know Tielemans, we already know Santos. If you think Danilo, Santos and Tielemans is a good Man United three, well, I think we've got a problem.
I think we've got a problem. This is where I'm getting bit. I think I've been bit again. Should have put some spray on.
I've got another one as well.
I reckon this is where I'm getting bit up here.
Right.
I need to put some spray on. I'll be back in a minute.
I'm back.
Should be sponsored by this.
See how you deal with this.
Bloody hell, it's killing me. Oh, that is bad.
What a way to go. What a way to go.
Ugh.
Right. Let it settle. We've got nearly 9,000 people watching. Thank you very much. Yeah, look, in relation to Danilo, it's Wilcox sending his bug box. Yes, in relation to Danilo, United won't do this deal. We won't do this deal. This stinks of not mosquito spray. This stinks of United being used by somebody who wants to move back to the Premier League. I see Danilo at Palace. I see Danilo at Everton. I don't see Danilo at Man United. It's a massively frustrating story, which will frustrate our fans. But yeah, I mean, look, no offence to Danilo, but you cannot have Santos and Danilo, bench players for Brazil. But it's not even about the Brazilian passport. It's not the level of player that we need to bring in. Just on that, by the way, we will sign a third midfielder. Don't listen to... Look, in fairness, the guy doesn't even really represent Sky Sports in relation to transfers. And when does Sky Sports do well on transfers? We're talking a decade ago. We will sign a third midfielder. It's scaremongering. Who that third midfielder will be, the Madrista says Camavinga would be a good signing. I think that if United signed anybody, it would be Kone or Alex Scott. I think that's what they want to do. The only thing I would say is, as a little bit of hope to people out there who seem to want Sanderberg or Belaba, if we have to move down the list, then at some point you might land on somebody down the list. But I think it's Kone or it's Scott. I think that's what United want to do. But we've gone down the list for Tielemans. We've gone down the list for Santos. What do you think about Scott wanting Chelsea? Mark, well, I don't think he said that he wants Chelsea. I think he said that he was open to Chelsea. I mean, apparently he's a Spurs fan. His half-sister plays for Manchester United. So there's a lovely boat in the background. I don't know whether you can see it. What about signing Goretzka with the experience, says I Like Mums? Can you see the boat? Where is the boat? You should be able to. Can you see the boat? Yeah. It's there. Yeah. Look, if I'm Alex Scott, I'm open to Chelsea. If I'm Alex Scott, I'm open to Man United. You know, I'm open to a lot of things. Anthony Tracy says, United talking up Santos already. Unfair to him. Well, look, I think in the watch along today, I've already done the preview, but I'm hoping we're going to see JJ. I mean, take a bet. Who's taking bets on how little time Carrick gives to JJ? I mean, he gave no minutes to Thwaites. He gave no minutes to Obi. So it'd be interesting to see how many minutes he does give to JJ. I'm hoping at least half an hour. but I guess we'll just have to wait and see. But you could say that our hopes of signing a decent midfielder are a bit like that boat, moving further and further away. In fact, on that boat, if I look out there, yep, I can see Alex Scott going like that. Missed my Super Jats as El Presidente. I haven't missed it. I'll go back to it. Is it JJ from the Sidemen? No. Not in the Sidemen anymore, is he? Or is that all a... look, I think Ben Jacobs said it yesterday, and there was a question about Jed Spence. Would you take Jed Spence at left back? And the honest answer is, don't be another one.
It is. What? I don't even know when they do it. Little shits.
So many bites on my leg. I think, look, a lot of people talk about Jed Spence. I haven't heard anything about that. We do need to buy a left back. I think that, you know, you look at Truffert, you look at Lewis Hall. I think many United fans feel that they're the sort of left back United should be signing. Jed Spence feels a little bit like Owen Hargreaves in the World Cup in 2006, where there's no doubt there's a good player there, but is it a little bit reactionary off a few good games in the World Cup? Potentially so. Ben Jacobs said that we're more likely to go for a left back than a winger now. And I don't know why that's acceptable, by the way, because let's just hold a thought for a minute. If Marcus Rashford had been staying at Manchester United, if Marcus Rashford had gone to Barcelona, we'd be signing a left winger. So United, I mean, look, maybe you're okay with it, but Man United saying that they're prioritising a left back over a left winger this summer. Hold on a minute. So we're literally not going to buy more than five players. When was that a thing? When was that a thing? Like, my theory was we needed to sign seven or eight players. Some of you want a centre back. Some of you want a striker. Some of you want a right back as well. I don't think it was ever meant to be a left back or a left winger. And what we're in danger of doing is making do on a very big season. And many of you have said it before. How many times do you see United appear to spend quite well when there is no Europe and then be unambitious when we have it? And unambitious is a little bit like making do, isn't it? Are we going to see a summer of making do? Because I think Tielemans and Santos, whilst they could be good, they're not overly exciting, are they? My objection to Spence is that we will be funding a rival to get a better player again. What, like Chelsea, as all? I mean, we've literally funded Chelsea, haven't we? Us and Villa have really helped Chelsea out. It's like a charity, isn't it? You had a crap year last year. Let us help you out. We're in the Champions League. So look, apparently we're going to go for a left back. Hopefully we'll sign a left back. But Spence, one good game all season, don't sign him, says Chris. Look, I said this yesterday in relation to Spence. In the knockout element of the World Cup, very good. In the group stage, when he played at left back, I thought he was shit. And for Spurs last season, it's not been that great. But I wouldn't be going there. I think that there are fullbacks who are natural left footers, which Jed Spence isn't, by the way. I think Jed Spence not being a natural left footer would become a problem for United fans very, very quickly as well. I think he'd go for Truffert or Hall. Spence was awful last season. Don't be stupid, says Wes. No one wanted Spence 6 weeks ago. It's Truffert or Hall. I agree with you, Damien, on that. I completely do. Other bits I want to talk to you about this morning. Shaking hands. I know what that... Sometimes I have to take notes because I don't have anything other to read other than the screen here. So, just in relation to, are we going to sign a centre-back? No, it's not really on the agenda at the moment. I mean, look, Lacroix's just gone to Chelsea, as some people are talking about in the chat, 50-something million pounds. I think the centre-back market is expensive, and I don't think that United have the finances to cover that off this window. Also, no one's going to buy De Ligt. No one's going to buy Martinez, I don't think. So I think United will definitely operate. And probably, you know what? This is not, I don't think this is an area to moan. we have got, I thought one was on me there. We have got Mazraoui, who can play at centre-back. We've got Luke Shaw, who can play at centre-back. We've got Heaven, we've got Yoro, we've got Maguire, and we've got De Ligt and Martinez. So United won't be signing a centre-back this summer. Need to sign a bloody left-back and a backup striker and another midfielder first. With regards to the striker situation, a lot of people commenting on how Sesko has muscled up. Lewandowski's quite muscly. When you look at him in his younger days, and then you look at him at Bayern and Barcelona, maybe Sesko is looking at Lewandowski. I don't know, but ultimately, United seem to be a club that focuses on this. We've seen Rashford muscle up. We've seen Mainu muscle up. We've seen Sesko muscle up. We've seen a lot of players doing that. And literally just had Naveen say thoughts on the amount of muscle Sesko has gained. Look, if he slows down because of the muscle, that's a problem. If he's more physical and still quick, I think it enhances his game. And I think, you know, that's the grown-up conversation, isn't it? Is it something that's going to impact his game because it's going to slow him down? Or is it something that's going to make him stronger whilst retaining his speed? So we'll have to see how that makes a difference. United's fitness department seems to be very big on this. Pardon the pun, big. But they seem to like players muscling up. But I don't think our track record on fitness is that good. So is this a mistake? We'll have to wait and see. But for me, you know, Sesko, for his height, is actually quick. You don't want him losing any of that. So look, we'll just have to wait and see how that pans out. But I don't think it's... I think there's far bigger fish in the sea, so to speak, to analyse, yeah. But what I do think is Sesko's injured at the moment. And that injury he had at the end of last season, he still has now. And we're lucky in a way that the season ended when it did. Because as I said to you last week, when you think about it with Sesko, he missed the last game or two of the season in mid-May. We're now approaching August. So if that had been January, he'd have been out for the season on what was meant to be quite a minor injury. So, I think, my concern with Sesko is that we keep him fit. And if the muscle is there to help him stay fitter, maybe that's the theory behind it. But I wouldn't want him to lose any of his pace or anything like that, if that makes sense. But look, I think the backup striker situation, I'm being told there's a boat about to come into screen from the left-hand side. Keep an eye out for it. It could be a new signing for United. But look, I think in relation to the backup striker, it's probably very similar to the left-back situation, isn't it? Yes, we need one. But I've just seen it coming. It looks like it's coming into Shaw. I think it's Kone. Don't turn away. Keep coming in. Come on. But yeah, I think in relation to a backup striker, I just don't know. People start talking about Danny Welbeck or Ivan Toney, and I don't think that's viable for Manchester United, if I'm being honest, right now. It's just mocking us. I think it's Camavinga on his holidays, just sunning himself on the front of the boat, turning away, literally just turned away. Yeah, I'm not going there. I'm not going on the United stand. Get me on the Real Madrid stand. Off it goes, like another transfer. Are they Stevie Wonder sunglasses? I'm not really a sunglasses kind of guy, but I thought, well, I am a sunglasses. Not for streams. I've seen this trend of people putting sunglasses on when we get a result. I think it's a knobhead move. Oh, look at me, we've got a good result. Let me copy another 100 other YouTubers by wearing a pair of sunglasses and pretending I'm the first person to do it. No, I'm not doing that because we've had a good result. I'm doing it because it's sunny. That's what sunglasses were made for. You're not Bono. You don't need to wear them inside. I'm wearing them because it's very bright. That's the only reason you'll wear. I won't be wearing these when we get a good result, like every other bloody YouTuber. Anana is back at Man United. Do not Do not tell me that. Do not tell me that. I don't want that to happen. Right, let me get into your comments. It's filling up round the pool. Why do I hate Belieber? I don't hate Belieber. And you've spelt hate with a hat. Why do I hat Belieber? He definitely means hate. Or she. I don't hate Belieber. And I think we live in a world where if somebody has a different opinion to you, they automatically hate them. Belieber, in my opinion, is pushing the PR because he's desperate. And I think desperate is a really bad trait. I think he's desperate. And I think he's desperately trying to build a PR, which some of you are falling for. But ultimately, tell me who was benched by James Milner. Tell me who was getting subbed off after a minute, after an hour, most games he started. He had probably five good games for Brighton in a 38-game season when the world was looking at him. So the blame lies with him. He had a shit season, mate. And I think he's a huge risk at a huge price. I think there's much better players and value in the market than him. That's not hate, it's true. A year ago, I'd probably been quite interested. I've had a comment here from United Way. He says, feeling we will sign Stiller. It's gone very quiet, and that's what Ineos doing. Signing players no one is talking about for fair price. Favel wants him. United don't seem convinced by any players that we are linked to, defensive enough, and type Carrick would want. Thank you very much, United Way. Look, you're talking my language if you are talking about Stiller. I really do like the player. Heard absolutely nothing about him. Nothing for about 3 months. Everything you've said is true in the sense that I think he'd be an interesting profile of signing. I'd be very excited about it, but just literally heard nothing about it. Irfan says, do you think the Amazon documentary is having any effect on already slow process? I think Irfan's just made a very, very good comment because you reminded me of something. I don't know if you've seen the Ben Jacobs and Beth show from yesterday, but there was a very interesting comment from Ben Jacobs in there where he said that United may not make signings now until the season starts, which is a great point. I put my hands up. That's poor from me on a morning show to have not mentioned that. And unfortunately, that's quite worrying because we've done this time and time again. Amrabat, Anthony, Casemiro, Ugarte, Cleese, Sessions, Everett. You know, it's a consistent theme where United are happy to sign players after a season has started, and yet we have a long list of players who sign for us after the season has started and fail. So I don't know why we're comfortable doing that, but it looks like that might be a possibility again. And I will say this, I'm dead against it. I'm dead against buying players that signed for us after the season started. Now, look, if you're buying a World Cup player, maybe that makes sense. And maybe that's why we're waiting. Look, let me put it this way. Do you sign Manu Kone today, who's on holiday for 2 weeks, or do you sign him in 2 weeks? You're literally giving him 2 weeks' wages to sit on his arse. United hate doing that. So maybe that's a hint about Manu Kone. And I'm just thinking here, like, there are players who've been at the World Cup who are on holiday for at least another week. Do you wait until they finish the holiday so you don't waste 100 grand in wages? I mean, it sounds stupid, but who has bought a player in the World Cup? Morgan Rogers, Chelsea, 116 million. They don't mind paying his wages while he's on holiday, but Man United might be that tight. But look, ultimately, you want players in the club before the season starts. Even a World Cup player will be in the week before. So if we're waiting until the season starts, I mean, that's a bit of a joke. Sunrise's Army, hope you're doing well, says this window is a big gamble and boring. We need Mbeumo, Cunha or Sesko to score 50 plus goals combined to make it a decent season. Can they do it? Well, look, I don't massively want to talk Sunrise's Army about next season, but Lucius has just done a super chat saying, can you predict next season? I'll give you this. Imagine if I started rowing into the sea. That would be great. I'm flying. Um, one thing I think people aren't talking about next season, you can talk about results, you can talk about transfers, you can talk about sales, and all really valid points. What about injuries? Last season, we played one game a week. Sometimes we played one game every 3 weeks. What happens when we start playing two games a week? Logically, even if you think Man United's fitness department's good, and I don't, we're going to get a lot more injuries next season. Harry Maguire, Luke Shaw, Mason Mount. You know, it can... Sesko. There is a lot of players that could get injured next season just because of volume of games. I don't think we've got a squad to deal with that. That might be a very interesting outlier predictor for next season. You know, I can't predict where we're going to finish in the league at the moment because I don't know what the window is. I can't predict what the transfers are going to be at the moment. I can't predict who we're going to sell at the moment, but I probably can predict that there is a high likelihood that we will have more injuries this season than last. And if we do, that will have a big impact on us. So I'd be wary of injuries next season. I think that's a problem, certainly. How much do you think Belaba would go for? 70. I'd be very surprised if Brighton let him go for less than 70, because realistically, why would you sell him on the cheap? From Brighton's point of view, he had a crap season last year and you still want 70. If he has a good season this year, you can probably push him back up to 90 again. I mean, if I was Brighton, I'd be like, it depends if Brighton want to sell. I don't know whether they do, but if they don't want to sell him, and considering Milner has now retired, they do need a midfielder anyway. If I was Brighton, I'd be looking at, is it Ayala, the Swedish guy? I'd be looking at Belaba, and I'd be going, we've got £150 million worth of talent there. Matheus Fernandes got relegated and went for £85 million. If they have a good season, then we could ask for the same. So I think that if we were to buy Belaba this summer, we'd be going right down the list, but starting at £70 million for a player that's not worth 50. Based on the season he's had, he's not even worth 50. Someone says grown men focusing on Sesko having bigger muscles need to get out more. Yeah, I think it's one of them things you just can't predict in relation to Sesko and muscles. Anyway, look, great show this morning. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. I'm going to go and get a bit of sun. Probably go and do a bit of a bit of work down the gym. The only lifting I'm doing is one of these. And it won't be, trust me, it won't be water. That's the only gym, I tell you what. I'll be telling that down the pub when I get back home, down the local. I'll be saying, like, they had a gym at the hotel. You wouldn't believe it. It was very busy. The only lifting I did was the pint of Strella. Tell you that. And tell you what, I probably did more lifting than them because that didn't look like it was lifting, did it? We have got watch along for the game today. And we have got match reaction, which I will do. And I will be dropping another video later on this evening as well. So lots to keep you covered. Enjoyed the morning shows. Thank you very much for tuning in, as always. And have a great day. I will speak to you all later. Have a great day. Take care. How does that work?